Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on VBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Also by the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, my new book, available at bookbaby.com and amazon.com, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. 30 years ago, John Hall of Orleans met Jonelle Mosser, queen of the Bluebird, in Nashville. They immediately wrote a song together, a collaboration that caught fire when Johanna Hall came into the mix. They wrote dozens of songs over the next decade. As a duo, John and Jonelle did some memorable gigs in Woodstock. Recently, a cassette of one of those shows, an acoustic duo show at the Bearsville Theater 1994, surfaced from a neglected drawer. A lost gem, the performances were so stellar, the songs so new, they still had dew on them. 25 years later, after Johanna digitized and edited it, that performance is finally released to the public as Little Black Dress. Jonelle Mosser's first record was Around Towns, a collection of songs by Towns Van Sant. She then came to the attention of producer Don Was, Bonnie Raitt, Waylon Jennings, Rolling Stones, who cut an album with her. He also put together the band New Maroons, which performed at Farm Aid, with Jonelle singing in front of Benjamin Tench, Mark Goldenberg, Waz, and Ringo Starr. Two CDs, So Like Joy and Enough Rope, were released on Hall's Siren Songs label, followed by Trust Yourself and Fortunes Lost, Fortunes Told. Singing in venues large and small, touring the U.S. and Japan with Orleans, Delbert McClinton, and others, Jonelle has seen her audience grow. She's sung studio vocals for B.B. King, Trisha Yearwood, Jesse Winchester, Etta James, Wynonna, Rodney Crowell, Vince Gill, Waylon Jennings, Patti Smyth, A.J. Croce, and Bruce Cockburn. John Hall's written songs for Janis Joplin, Bonnie Raitt, Ricky Skaggs, Steve Wariner, and James Taylor. He's played guitars on tours and records with Little Feat, Taj Mahal, Jackson Browne, and Seals and Cross. His music and environmental activism led him to 10 years in elective office. Now back to music full-time, he writes songs and performs solo and with Orleans. Listen to Jonelle Mosser just once in concert and you'll be an instant believer. She sings with all-out passion and heart, no frills, no games, just a soulful intensity that makes you realize you're in the presence of the real thing. Please welcome American blues and soul singing sensation, Jonelle Mosser, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello there.
Hi, Ray. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How are things in Nashville?
Locked down, baby.
Yeah, like everywhere else.
But that's okay. You know, our little artist colony here, we've found ways to get around doing a few things. I've gotten to do one session, and tomorrow I have a session that's going to happen there. They've sanitized the studio.
Oh, really?
They have an open door for me to walk into.
Uh-huh.
And so we're trying to slowly and safely start up the art again.
Yeah.
Crank it out.
Yeah, we need it. We need music. We, you know, back in our lives.
I think so. I did last evening, I did a short set at a place where we usually have a Sunday gig.
Mm-hmm.
Just, my bass player, my guitar player, and myself, and we had one other person there running the sound, and we did an hour set, the Taj Mahalics is what we call this band.
Mm-hmm.
To an empty place, but a lot of people tuned in, so I'm learning how to do that, too. They're dragging me kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
Yeah, there's so many artists now that are doing these little shows from home, you know, for people, which is pretty cool. I've seen a lot of good artists, you know. I guess it's hard to get that sound right, though, when you're on Zoom.
It is. I don't have a decent microphone on my laptop here.
Yeah.
And I'm working on trying to find one, but no place is open to buy it. So I've got to either order it online and then wait a little while. Ooh, my cat. Hi, kitty cat. She's with me. Got to figure out what I'm going to do here. Oh, she wants to go out now. I'm like everybody else, just figuring out how to do what I do authentically and safely.
Well, you're a Kentucky girl, and I heard you singing Old Kentucky Home live on Nashville Now, TNN. And,
oh, yeah,
wow.
Long ago. Tom Ritz, the guitar player, for that cut.
That was so cool. You don't get to hear that song too much anymore, you know?
You don't. Stephen Foster is a highly underrated songwriter for many.
Right.
But, I had one very wise person say that Stephen Foster, Beethoven, let me put Stephen Foster, Mozart, and Beethoven are the only three composers, this is Fred Foster saying this, the only three composers, he said, you can't add or subtract a single note.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
So, yeah, I love doing any song that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I got to tell you, you're an incredible singer, you know? You should be.
I always say, God makes the wine, boy. I get to be the glass.
You should be a superstar by now, in my opinion, you know? And you sang with so many people.
It's been the joy of my life that I've gotten to sing with my friends and my heroes. You know, I never toured with Delbert McClinton, but I did get to, I got to open for him a couple of times and sing, backgrounds for him several times. And, I got to teach Mavis Staple a song once. You remember when Lisa Marie was married to Michael Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we did that Elvis tribute, and I was the rehearsal singer.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I got to the stars that hadn't really had a chance or been able to study their songs, I got to show them, and I got to practice with the band.
That's great.
Different bands. And so I got to meet Tony Bennett during that.
Uh-huh.
And met sweet Michael Hutchins boy. He was a darling. The In Excess boy.
Yep.
He had trouble with his song, too, and so the day of the performance, I got to sing with him a little bit. And though I have struggled financially during my life, I've never been in abject poverty, and the toxicity that can come with celebrity, I have handily avoided. So, I really can't complain.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, first of all, working with John Hall, I've had John on the show. He's a cool guy.
Oh, amen, yeah, brother.
We're supposed to play some racquetball together if we ever get together. He's another racquetball.
Very athletic.
Yeah, good guy. And I was fortunate to see Larry Hoppin over here in the Sarasota area, and of course he passed away recently from Orleans.
I loved Larry Hoppin.
Yeah.
Lance is my dear friend too, and I've gotten to do several gigs with him, but I adored Larry Hoppin, and for him to have sung lead on a song that I wrote, I Am On Your Side, with Johnny Johanna, was one of those more than than you could ask or think moments to hear Larry Hopkins sing my song with that beautiful voice of his.
Yeah.
Just great.
Yeah. Orleans is a great band, too.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
I got a guy that you should probably team up with, and he lives in Nashville. I just interviewed Jimmy Hall.
He's my dear friend from many years.
Really? From Wet Willie?
I've known Jimmy Hall for 25 years at least.
You
26
got,
years.
You guys should do a duo together
several times. Yeah.
You definitely should do a duo together. You guys mesh so well, you know.
And, oh, I think so.
I think so.
You tell him that. I'll tell him that you said so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mentioned Beth Hart too, because I know he did something with Beth Hart in one band.
Oh, yeah.
I like Beth Hart too. I've had her on the show, but he does the harmonica thing. You always sing with harmonica players. It just makes sense.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Good guy, good guy. We talked for a long time.
Very good guy.
Yeah.
Very good guy.
What happened with this, the new Maroons? What happened there with the Farm Aid thing, and you had Ringo Starr and you were singing?
Well, the new Maroons was a band that Don put together. It was his original idea to have both a female and a male singer.
Okay.
And we talked about Delbert. We talked about Lyle Lovett. We talked about my ex-husband, John Callan.
Mm-hmm.
But it never really came together with those guys.
Right.
Don said he wanted to do some sessions, so we did. And Benmont was the keyboard player. You know, he was Benmont Tench, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Sure.
And Mark Goldenberg was the guitar player. He played for Jackson Browne for many years. He's a great songwriter. And guitar player, and so I was the singer, Don was the bass player, and Ringo played the drums. So we did a couple of gigs,
right?
And I thought things were going to happen, but right then he got tapped to produce the Rolling Stones record,
mm-hmm.
and then produce a CD on Bonnie, another CD on Bonnie, and Waylon Jennings, and I did those sessions,
right?
And then he did. He just kept getting pulled away to do different things. And then Ringo started up his all-star band.
Right,
and
right.
I was having babies then, so I couldn't be in that. And so I guess everybody kind of moved on without me. I'm not in an ugly way,
right,
and I'm
right.
not angry about that.
Yeah.
I had little kids. I did as much as I could. But, and Don has come, when he's been back here in Nashville, he's mm-hmm. hired me for several things.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the last time a mutual friend, drummer, a guy named Greg Bissonette, one of the great drummers.
Sure.
And I did a gig together.
Mm-hmm.
He was subbing for Charlie Morgan. Charlie had a fall.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine now, but he had a fall for this and couldn't come play this gig. And the first thing Greg Bissonette said was, "Ringo, I got a big hug from Ringo." This is back when you could hug.
Yeah.
And so I know he still loves me, and Don does too, but I don't know. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. How cool would that have been, though, you know?
Oh, I tell you what, doing Farm Aid was very cool.
It's got to be,
And I loved the songs that we cut for that record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of. We cut several John Hiatt tunes.
Mm-hmm.
We cut a Stephen Bruton tune that I just love. A song called "Too Many Memories." And oh gosh, I still remember all the songs. If they want to play a gig, I'm available.
You've done so much session work that it's incredible, and there's session work is great, you know, because you get to know
yeah.
a lot of people and you're on a lot of records, you know. I know a lot of great session people that are you know, very successful, like you.
Well, I'm happy to be in this town. I'll tell you that when I was deciding where to live.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, there were really only four places, New York, L.A., Nashville, or Austin.
Right, right.
I mean, Chicago also had a recording scene, but it was mostly advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And so New York I loved, but it took so long for people to quit laughing at my name and my accent. It was just a little hard. But I do love New York. If I hadn't picked Nashville, New York was my second choice. L.A., I loved a bunch of people in L.A., but the town itself I found to be very cold.
Right.
And Austin had a lot of great live music, but not enough recording. So Nashville was the perfect little Goldilocks. Not too this, not too that, but just enough.
I think Nashville's got the best players in the country.
Amen.
By far.
And that too.
Yeah.
It was my mother was still living at the time, but she was ill, and so I wasn't too far away from her. I was within a day's drive.
Right. Where was she living at?
Louisville.
Oh, she was in Louisville. Yeah. Louisville and Nashville is very close. Very, very close.
Yeah, 270.
Yeah.
270 miles, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we used to go to Opryland all the time when it was open with the kids. You know, it was a lot of fun.
It's Shopryland now, baby.
it flooded out, right? Didn't they have a big, massive flood or something like that? It killed it?
Well, it did, but the flood didn't kill Opryland.
No.
That was gone, but the Opry Mills was flooded out. But it's back going again. I mean, I don't know if it's open now.
Right.
But, yeah, they had gotten back on track.
And we used to go to Printer's Alley back then. They had, and this is a while ago, they had, Boots Randolph had a place in Printer's Alley, and he was performing there like every night. We said hi to him and
come say hi to Boots.
Yeah,
well, Printer's Alley is still there.
It's still there.
What we called the titty bars are gone.
Yeah.
There's still a couple of places that have that lovely seedy quality, and then there are bars that the tourists really love. Printer's Alley.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. We went in those so-called bars with my mother-in-law and father-in-law from Kentucky, from Henderson.
I love it. I love it.
And it was so funny. Oh, my God. It was very seedy, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it was.
Very seedy. I want to talk about Little Black Dress. I gave it five stars, if that's okay.
Oh, my goodness, yes, I'm thrilled.
Great, I mean, the album features you, mostly your vocals, which I love, you know. It's all mainly all acoustic with, is that John? Who's playing guitar? Is that John?
It is. It was a live show we did at the Bearsville Theater.
Right. I didn't realize how good of a guitar player he was, you know.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning, yeah.
It was incredible. Plus, you got the single on the, I saw the YouTube video of Circle, which is,
Yeah, John put that together. I think it's quite relevant.
It is. We all share the circle.
Yeah. All we give comes back again and got no way of knowing when.
You got it. I really did like the sound, and I think some of my favorites, I Like That in a Man, to me, that should have been a hit.
I think so, too.
Sounds like a hit to me.
Oh, darling. Well, yay. Your mouth to God's ear, boy.
Another hit should have been Bad Habit, which was kind of country.
Oh, yeah.
Sound of country.
My sister cut that. Bobby?
Uh-huh.
I never got to hear her version of it, but somebody said she cut a really good version of that song.
Really? Huh.
Well, I'd love to hear it sometime.
Ordinary Splendor was very unique. In the beginning, it kind of...
I got the lyric. That was so new.
Mm-hmm.
I sang a wrong lyric on that.
Right.
It's Precious and True instead of Precious and Few, like the association. You know?
Sure. You know what it reminded me of? The beginning sounded like a Mama Cass song. You know how Mama Cass went solo? It kind of sounded like that, just in the intro, you know?
Oh, Cass Elliott was one of the great singers. Thank you very much.
It reminded me of her.
That's a lovely compliment
to
me.
It really did. She was a great, like you said, she was a great singer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. Slaying Dragons, kind of a reggae feel to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
another great song.
Thank you. That was and that was very, very, it's a very personal song. It has to do with bad things that happened to me that I feel like I overcame.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
Now, did you write that with John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Johanna.
And Johanna. Yeah, I like to see you write more, you know? Because I think you're good. You're a very good songwriter. You just got to get out there and do it.
Thank you. Well, I have, you know, I've written about 60 songs with John and Johanna.
Right, right.
And I've written about 25, 30 with Tom Brick.
You just need a partner.
Well, he's not my boyfriend or anything, but he's my guitar player.
Right, right.
He was my first husband's best friend.
You just need a musical partner for songwriting, and that's,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people
yeah.
need that. It's hard to write by yourself. It really is.
There are only a few songs I've written completely by myself.
Mm-hmm. You know what another awesome tune was Dance of Life. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you. That's the first one that the three of us wrote together.
John
and I wrote Devil's Hand
right,
first.
Right.
And that came from me watching the Val Kilmer remake of I Was a Fugitive from a Georgia Chain Gang.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point, the guy who's the boss man, I can't remember if it was Kenneth McMillan or Charles Durning. I get those guys mixed
mm-hmm.
up sometimes.
Yeah.
But at one point he says, I'm the devil boy, and I got you in the palm of my hand. And I went, ooh, devil's hand. And so I had all of the words written to Devil's Hand.
Uh-huh.
First, but I didn't have a good tune, and John put that sort of lively, melodic thing, and that was my first songwriting lesson from John, where he said something like, you know the song Help? And I said, yeah, by the Beatles, Help. He goes, if you ever really listen to the words of that song, do you know the words? I said, I do. He said, think about them. They're really sad words.
Yeah.
But because it's so lively, when I was younger, so much younger than
mm-hmm.
he said, jump out works, the dichotomy of that really works.
Yeah.
He said, could we try that here? And I went, oh yeah, show me what you got. And he came up with that, what I thought was a very soulful riff.
Oh, it's incredible.
And he encouraged me in a way that nobody else did to really stretch out. He goes, I know sometimes you reach out to hit a note and you're not sure what you're going to hit, do that. Go, don't be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, and Johanna too, encouraged me to be brave in ways that were very difficult for me.
Well, tell John, Dance of Life, that guitar intro there sounds like Jimi Hendrix. I mean,
it does.
On acoustic.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I was shocked when I heard that. I said, that's John? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. Really love that song. That's got to be one of my favorites as well.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, that came from reading a book. There was a book called Dance of Life that was all about the mating rituals of different critters, of
really?
Different animals.
Huh, that's interesting. The track, You Know Who You Are, reminded me a little bit of Sam Cooke and A Change Is Going to Come. You know, the way it kind of...
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
yeah,
that 6-8 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it did.
That's a pretty honest song, too,
it
I
is.
Have to say. That's
yeah.
taken from real life.
Well, I love the album. I mean, kudos to you. What's next after this one?
Well, there are a couple of ideas getting thrown around. A live record is almost in the can from some Sundays that we were doing at this place called Dee's Country Cocktail Lounge.
Okay.
Don't let the name fool you. There's plenty of rock music and blues happening there.
Good.
Americana and so forth. As a matter of fact, last night we did a little socially distanced show. And I bet you can find it online on YouTube.
Okay.
If you want to see that.
Sure.
So the guy that runs sound for us there is also a vocalist and a dear friend of mine. And he's been taping. He asked if he could start taping us because he's trying to learn how to mix and do stuff. Well, he got some great performances out of Tom and Paul and myself, I
mm-hmm.
think. And, so there's that. But in my heart, what I really, really want to start working on right now is a gospel record.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. I wrote a song long ago with a fellow named Pierce Pettis.
Okay.
And a woman who's, I think, fairly famous, Sarah Groves.
Okay.
You know her name? She cut it. The name of the song is You Did That For Me.
Right.
And I've never seen any money from it. And I found out later that there was even printed music of it, but they misspelled my name. They spelled it M-O-S-E-R instead of S-S-E-R. So I don't know how I can track it down, but I'm sure I've got some royalties coming from that somewhere.
Yeah.
But that song I'm very proud of because it mm-hmm. came from a very authentic place for me.
Right.
And I've had it in my heart to do a couple of Dorothy Love Coates song. Do you mm-hmm. know who she was?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So the two Dorothy Love Coates songs I've been doing for 30 years or more is Strange Man
mm-hmm.
and That's Enough. I got to sing That's Enough with the Fairfield Four one time, and so I had it in my mind that I'd put together with Odessa Settle and maybe her some of her can a version of the next generation of the Fairfield Four to sing that one with me. And I did yesterday I did one of the songs I want to put on there, which is an old Sam Cooke tune he did with the Soul Stirrers, Hem of His Garment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this song?
I do.
So and we did it yesterday, and both the boys went, oh, Ellie, that's good. So there's that. And then there's a song that John Jarvis wrote
mm-hmm.
called Imagine How God Can Sing. That wow. is the most, it's one of the coolest songs mm-hmm. ever. And my friend Dennis Burnside did an arrangement, an orchestral arrangement of it that is just beautiful.
You know, you can sing.
I got a couple of rock gospel songs to go on there too. And here's my title for it. Are you ready?
Sure.
Immaculate Contraption.
I like that.
Isn't that pretty good?
That's pretty cool.
And I think it is. And I figured I'd put on there. You know, I was raised in the Episcopal Church,
mm-hmm.
so I figured I'd pull a couple. Or at least one song straight out of the old 1940 hymnal.
Right.
Because there are a couple of those that I just love and love singing. And I'd get my Kentucky Thunder Girls. You know, I'm also, or have been, so far we haven't done any gigs except charity gigs in the past 2-3 years.
Right.
But I had a band with three other women from Kentucky, Sheila Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
Vicki Carrico, and Etta Britt.
Right.
That is Tom's sister-in-law.
Okay.
And we had something called Kentucky Thunder for a while.
Yep.
Four women, and we have a record out. So I figured I'd get my Kentucky Thunder Girl to sing on one. I'd get Maura O'Connell and Odessa Settle to sing on another.
Mm-hmm.
I've got... Oh, I just have so many friends I want to tap for it. An ex-husband I want to tap for it. Jimmy Hall,
yep.
I definitely want to tap for it.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect for this.
I'll email him. I'm going to email him about that, you know.
Because Jonelle Monster wants to do a gospel record.
Oh, you guys.
Thank you on it, brother.
You guys would be.
And Johnny Neal.
Yep.
He had a stroke. I was getting ready to mm-hmm. do something with him. And before all this happened, he had a stroke, and I'm hoping he's recovered enough that I can have him come sing and play on it, too, because, you know, he was on my Town Fan Fant record, and I just love the way our voices sound together, too.
You know, you appeal to everybody, because you can do any genre, you know? I mean, I do love, I gotta admit, I love your kind of honky-tonk type blues with the harmonica, you know what I mean? The small club, small bar type sound. I love that, you know? But, you know, I really like, you know, you did Midnight Train to Georgia, perfect. I mean, I don't know anybody.
Oh, yeah, Larry Hoppin, I had the finest pips of all. having all three of the Hoppin brothers.
They were good.
And Linda Davis. And Kathy Bailey from Bailey and the Boys.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You nailed it.
Oh, and the fun, the most although I love doing the gig, almost the most fun part of that gig was the rehearsal.
Really?
and having Larry Hoppin, you talk about opinionated. The Hoppin brothers are opinionated about music. And the way they argue with each other about stuff is delightful. Oh, it was wonderful.
That's funny. Great, great song. Yeah, Delbert McClinton, of course. You've Never Been Rock. Another great tune.
He's so great.
Yeah. He's another guy that's a little bit, maybe a little underrated, you know?
Absolutely. Yep. Delbert McClinton should have been bigger than Elvis.
Yeah, he's huge. I mean, great vocalist, man. Fantastic.
Yes, and a good guy.
Good guy.
A deeply good guy. He and his wife, Wendy, have been very good to me.
Mm-hmm. You do a great job with Taj Mahal as well. Take a Giant Step. I mean, it's better than his version.
Hey, well, you know who wrote the song, right?
Who wrote it?
Carole King.
Oh, Carole King. Yeah, Carole. That's right, Carole King. I think you're a fan of Carole King, huh?
Big time. I actually did, when I was pregnant with my son, who is now 22,
mm-hmm.
I did something called Tapestry.
Yep.
That was it was close to being an opera because there really wasn't dialogue. It was all songs of Carole King. The six-person cast, Mike Eldred, Connie Florence, Matt Carlton, Jeff Obafemi Carr, Jamie London, and myself.
I'd love to hear you do It's Too Late. That's one of my favorite songs.
I have sung that with a show that I've done called 1971.
Huh.
You should look that up online, maybe.
Okay.
I think the entire title is 1971, The Greatest Year in Music.
Yeah, it was a great year.
It truly was.
Her, Carly Simon, I mean, she was big at that time. I mean, you know,
the songs that came out then were Maybe I'm Amazed came out then.
Yep.
Respect Yourself came mm-hmm. out then.
Great music.
What's Going On, Marvin Gaye.
Yep.
When the Levee Breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Tapestry. Gosh. I mean, it's funny, we've done this show several times and we've been able to change the songs that we've done, nearly all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And still, there's more to choose from.
I mean, that was, I was a DJ back in the late 70s. I did top 40 music back in the day, but, you know, nothing compared. I mean, even that, the late 70s, you know, was a good time for music. Very eclectic mix of music on the air.
Very much so.
There'll never be another time like that, you know, unfortunately.
Maybe not in our generation, but God, yeah. I think there are always going to be great musicians. There's always going to be music with melody.
Sure.
I think for a while we were worried disco was going to take over, but dang it. We still got something going, and some of the disco is pretty fun.
Some of the other tunes, you did a great job on Crossroads. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
That rocked.
That was a scary session when I did that. That was for the movie Boys on the Side.
Right, right.
I got to meet Stevie Nicks doing that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
She's great. You talk about somebody who's a huge star, but not full of herself.
Right,
she treated me. She didn't know me from Adam's house cat. She was very, very nice to me.
Yeah. You did another song, which is hard to do. You did Mercedes-Benz, Janis Joplin.
Oh, wow. That's right. I remember that.
You did that one? Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Oh, thanks.
Awesome.
I figured I had to do something because up there, you know, you got to do a Janis song. If you're at the Bearsville Theater, you got to do one, right?
Sure. A lot of people say they compare you to Janis in a way. I mean, I hear you with, you know, all types of ways because you're very eclectic and you can do any kind of song. So
Oh, thank God.
But I hear little Janis in you as well.
Oh, are. I take that as a high compliment. You know, the Janis cover I really like to do, besides Half Moon, because I think that's just such a great song. But the Janis cover I really like to do, you know, she did a version of To Love Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Not Somebody to Love, but to, the Bee Gees song, To Love Somebody.
Right, right.
And I found this out later on. That song was written for Otis Redding.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. The Gibb brother that wrote it, I don't know if it was Barry or
Robin.
Which one.
Yeah.
But it was written with Otis in mind, and then he died in that plane crash.
That's right.
And, you know, Janis idolized Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should look this up on YouTube. She did a version of it on the Dick Cavett Show. That is stunning. It's just stunning. And so I kind of try to emulate that. When people ask me to do a Joplin tribute thing, I'll say, okay, unless you really want me to sing Ian Bobby McGee or Mercedes Benz. And I will if you really want me to, but I'm not going to do them just like her. I'm not going to try to imitate her. You understand this, right? Sometimes they do it. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But I'll say, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if there's a great band, they'll let me do what I want, you know.
I had, you know, Mitch Ryder from the
Detroit Wheels. Yes, oh, God, in the Detroit Wheels.
Yeah, he was on the show. You know, he was the last guy to be with Otis Redding.
I did not know that. I love learning this
stuff. He performed with him on a show or something, and then the next day he died in the plane crash. And it was, you know, the last song he did, of course, was Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I learned a lot in this job. It's pretty cool.
I guess you do. My goodness.
Yeah. Other songs that I, you know, just kind of blew me away. Let's see. I want to remember what I listened to. Natural. You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, of course, Aretha Franklin. But you did Stop in the Name of Love with Hope Floats from the movie.
That was when I was doing the, well, Dom was,
mm-hmm.
I was working with him, and he cut a record on me that never came out. That's a very long, complicated story that if, unless you really need me to tell you, you should probably look it up, because it's heartbreaking.
Really?
I finished the record, mm-hmm. Ed Cherney was the engineer, Dom the producer. I had Sweetie Atkinson. You know, he's singing background mm-hmm. vocals on that. Sir Harry Bowen
right.
and Sweet Pea are singing backgrounds on Stop in the Name of Love. You know, we just lost Sweet Pea.
Yeah, that's right. We did. Just recently.
And yeah. So, well, that was all kind of a heartbreak for me because
right.
I was signed to MCA, and then all at once, the guy that signed me, Al Keller was gone.
Yeah.
And I was persona non grata. And Don had so much going on in his world. Lord, he was producing the Rolling Stones. He didn't have time to deal with all the crap that was going on for me. And then I met my husband at the time and mm-hmm. got pregnant and started having babies. So
yep.
I couldn't go out on the road.
Yep.
Don kept in touch with me and kept, every time he came in Nashville, he throw some work my way. Thank God for him. He's a very loyal and wonderful person, and he's a musician to the bone. So
right.
he knows, and he's seen how I've struggled. But he's been very good to me. It just didn't work out. They MCA did not love me. They didn't know what to do with me. So
well, that song on YouTube has gotten a lot of views, man. It's like
yeah,
300,000.
I'd love to take some royalties from it, but no.
Yeah,
that's all recoupment.
It's crazy, really
yeah.
crazy.
So,
the music business is so difficult. You know, I learned about how much artists get at the very end after touring and all the costs from. You know, the being in the studio and everything. It's sad. It really is. They take everything out of you guys.
They you know? Do.
Yeah. It's a tough business. It's always been a tough business.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can't do anything else. This is what I'm happy doing.
Yeah. Well, same thing with me. You know, I've interviewed, I don't know, a couple thousand people. Been doing this for about 10 years now. I'm not making anything. I love doing it. You know?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And you're leaving something lasting, honey.
Exactly. And I'm writing books.
Your family, but everyone.
I'm writing books, all the interviews. You know, I just got a new book out, The Rockstar Chronicles, and I'm going to do 4 series. We'll include you in one of the series, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll put you in there. And, you know, it'll be on the shelves forever and ever, you know, for people to learn.
For my grandchildren to read.
There you go. So when all this mess is over with the coronavirus, what's going to happen? Are you going to go start touring again, or what's going to happen then?
I am.
Okay.
If John feels comfortable,
mm-hmm.
I am going to tour it. I really want to tour there.
Are you going to tour with John?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If he feels like he can, like I said, you know, he's not that old, but he's a little bit older than I am.
Right.
And he has had his health compromised a little bit with
mm-hmm.
with some heart issues. And so forth, but if he's, it would be the joy of my life to tour with John. And we're so self-contained,
yep.
We might make some money.
That'd be nice. That'd be a plus, a bonus.
It would, wouldn't it?
Well, I hope it works out. I really do.
Well, thank you, lovey. I hope so, too.
You were on, I did see you were on the Southern Rock Cruise back in January of 2019. How'd that go?
Oh, that was great. Jimmy was on that.
Yep.
Jimmy was on that, as was Johnny Neal.
Right.
And have you ever heard him?
Johnny Neal, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So the three of us really got to have a good time a couple times on that cruise. We really did.
Those have gotten so big now, you know, the rock cruises and the, you know.
Right. Yeah, my friends that were the headliners of that, the Kentucky Headhunters.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Oh, I love them.
Yep.
I've known them. I've known Fred, the drummer. I've known Fred since, oh, gosh, 1982, I think. And it's funny. He and I are about the same age. He looks older because he's got those great big mutton chops and so forth. But Freddie isn't that old. and they had asked me to get up on the cruise and sing with them. And they said, whatever you want to sing, just get up and sing with us. If you hear something, just get up. Nobody will stop you. So I hear them cranking up Spirit in the Sky.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, that's perfect. I'll get up and do all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do all that stuff.
Yep.
And I come around the corner where they're on the big outdoor stage up on the top of the ship. And I come around and some jackass in the audience has a full-size Confederate flag waving it back and forth.
Oh, jeez.
And my sister was with me. I turned around. And I came around the corner, I said, oh, good, I'm going to go sing. She goes, I'll follow. And she comes right behind me, we both stop. Yeah, no way. Not getting on that stage. She goes, I know. And I love those guys, and they can't control what their
right.
audience is doing. But I thought, what jackass would carry a full-size Confederate flag? I mean, one that's bigger than a couple of coffee tables, you know?
Yeah.
That's just bullshit. I'm not.
Well, on the way to Tampa, there's a guy that's got a big Confederate flag. a big one, real big one on his flagpole. And I don't know if he's taking it down by now, but it was there for years, you know? I mean, you know, I'm not against, you know, the South, they fought just like the North did in the United States. You know what I mean? And we got to be, you know, I feel bad for everyone that passed away and died and got killed in that war, you know. But, you know, you can't just forget about it, you know. You just can't.
I have relatives that fought and died on both sides.
On both sides, yeah. I mean.
Because we're from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Our family was torn apart by that war.
Right.
And I don't care what anybody says that it was about states' rights. It was about slavery.
Right.
And that's the legacy that the Confederate flag, no matter what somebody says, somebody could say, well, my great-granddaddy carried this flag and I'm proud of it. Well, good. If you have it on your property, I find it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that you don't understand why I find it offensive. I'm not telling you that you can't wave it, but I'm not going to be in a photograph where you're waving a Confederate flag.
Yep. It's just the people that want to wipe out that part of history, you know? You can't wipe out history, you know what I mean?
No, you can't.
You can't change history. It's there. I mean, that's what we all learned in school. And
people are people. Here's the thing. People make mistakes.
Yep.
I have German friends that I love.
Exactly.
They're definitely not Nazis.
Right, exactly.
Maybe their granddaddies were.
Good way to look at it. You're right.
But they are not.
And I
love Angela Merkel. I think she's a great leader and a strong leader. I'm not afraid she's going to be a Nazi. I know she's not. She's a lovely, compassionate person. I would never say that all Germans are Nazis.
Right.
But if I see a Nazi flag,
I
don't care who's carrying it, American or German, I'm going to say, something wrong with you.
That's funny. Yeah, you can say the same thing about the Chinese now. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
There's going to be a lot of people hating Chinese because of this thing. So.
Well, North Korea.
Same,
the Khmer Rouge.
Right.
What about Rwanda and Burundi?
Yep.
We have a song, Johnny Johanna and I, called We Are All One Tribe.
Right. Good title.
It's true.
Yep.
If the first verse goes, Neanderthal fighting, Cro-Magnon, he fighting back too.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting the tribe from someone who don't look like he do. Clubs turn to arrows, guns into missiles and planes. Till both sides are gone, wait a million years, start it again. Mm. No.
Good lyrics.
We are all one tribe.
Good lyrics. I like that.
And the bridge, when you finally get to the bridge, it goes, like a garden from the earth we rise, all the same in our Creator's eyes.
Right.
We are all one tribe.
That's true. I love that.
I'll sing that for you sometime. And I've updated it because we wrote it back when the Rwanda genocides were happening.
Right,
So the first iteration of it was, Rwanda, Burundi, now I'm saying Afghanistan. Rwanda, Burundi, Afghanistan won't be the last. Oh, it was Kosovo first. Ulster and England locked in the wars of the past. Now I'm saying Syria, Chechnya locked in the wars of the past.
Right.
Because people don't remember the Irish-English thing.
That's
Ulster,
right.
England.
That was big.
Hutu killed Tutsi just for the shape of the nose. And I don't know if you remember that, but I read a newspaper article saying the Hutus were going around, and if a person looked a little bit like a Tutsi, and that had to do with if their nose was flattened straight or, you know, a little more aquiline, they killed them.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, yeah, you're a Tutsi.
Mm.
And a Catholic Protestant killed for the God that they chose. No. We are all one tribe.
Yeah.
We are all one tribe. Like a garden from the earth we rise. All the same in our Creator's eyes. We are all one tribe.
There sure has been a lot of hate in this world, though, over the years. I tell you that.
We've got to fight it.
Oh, man.
We've got to fight it, Ray. You know we have to. We who know even a tiny bit have to fight it.
It's a shame. I mean, there's always been wars. There's always been hatred. Racism, you know, there's always been... It's always been there, and it always will be, but I tell you one thing, if we learned anything from this virus, a lot of, you know, we all did come together. It's amazing how many people did stay home and listen and, you know, follow the rules, you know, because there's a lot of people in this world, you know?
Yep, and there are a lot of people who have a lot of love and respect for others, even though they might not be very vocal about it.
You just never hear about it.
They're showing no love and respect by staying home.
You just never hear about it, you know? You never hear about the good things. Every once in a while, but not enough. I want to throw some names at you, okay?
Okay.
I'm friends with, you know, Joe Bonsall, the Oak Ridge Boys. You know those guys?
I don't know him well, but he might know me. He might know my name.
Right. Joe, the Oak Ridge Boys, of course, they're in Nashville as well.
Oh, yeah, I know Bill Golden.
Right.
I know a little better, yeah. And his sons, Chris and...
Mm-hmm.
What's his other son's name? I knew him even better. That's all right.
I know Joe.
Okay, there you go. Do you know Joe? Uh-huh.
Joe's from Philly, originally.
Oh.
Yeah. Dolly Parton.
Yes.
You know Dolly?
I do. She, the last time I got to see her, Stella is a closer friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I did something for Dolly called the Red Tent Event.
Okay.
And you know, I've sung backgrounds on a couple of her records. And it was so funny, I didn't know she was aware of me, but she wanted a picture with everyone after this Red Tent event we did.
Right.
And as we go, I thought we were all going to do it as a band, but she wanted it one at a time. And I heard, as I got close, we were all standing in sort of in a line, or at the big DoubleTree Hotel. I hear Stella say, "Oh, and here's Joan L. Mosser." She gives her the name before the person walks up. And I hear Dolly do this way. I'll try to do this just like she did it. She went, "Ooh, Joan L. Mosser, we love her."
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, my God. Again, one of those more than you could ask for thankfulness. Getting this thing in front of Ringo Starr.
Incredible.
Dolly Parton going, knowing my name and how to say it and mm-hmm. saying, "We love her." Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. She is a delight.
I love your name. I think your name's easy to say, and it stands out. It's a great name. There's nothing wrong with your
name.
Well,
I've been told it's an ugly dog of a name, but it is really? My ugly dog of a name. I like it.
I like it, too. And I did a speakerphone type thing, a conference call. And
yeah.
On the conference call was Dolly, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmy Lou Harris. And just imagine how that conversation went. They were so funny, those three, you know?
Yeah.
You can tell they've been together for a while.
Dolly still is. She's hysterical.
Yeah. I've never been to Dollywood. Have not been there yet.
I have. It's marvelous.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. And now they've got a big water park there. That wasn't done
mm-hmm.
when we went there, when I took the kids there, but we had a great time.
That'll be my next trip, I think. I got 5 grandkids, so they're not old enough to go yet, but
yeah.
That'll be one of our trips. How many kids do you have?
2 sons.
2 sons.
One's 22 and one's 24.
Okay.
15, no, 23. Hi. 22 and 23.
Any grandkids? Do you have grandkids yet?
I have great kids. My older son is a nurse at Vanderbilt.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, grandkids. No, I don't have grandkids.
Not yet.
My older son's a nurse at Vanderbilt, and he just recently married.
Okay.
They just went to the Justice of the Peace since it was crazy.
Congratulations.
Great. No, thank you. I love my daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger son is 22. He's the one that both of them are music. Have musical ability, but I think my younger son actually could be a singer. But he sees how hard it is, and so
right.
I don't know that he's going to do that.
Does he have a band, or does he want just be a singer?
No.
Yeah.
It, the world isn't like the world was when we were coming up, honey. You don't
right.
have a neighborhood where guy goes, "Oh, I've got a set of drums, I've got a bass guitar."
Yeah, garage
that
band.
That doesn't happen anymore, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me think of the old Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland. "My daddy has a barn. We can use curtains for curtains." "Let's put on a show." So, yeah, he hadn't done that, but he could if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He's still sort of stumbling about figuring out what he wants to do.
It's funny, as you get older, the kids don't know who you're talking about. You know, I interviewed Connie Francis, and nobody knew who she was.
Great.
Nobody knew who she was. It's crazy. You know, she was so big in the 50s and early 60s, you know.
And she was a beautiful girl.
Yep.
She went through some bad times.
Yeah, she did.
Didn't she? She and Leslie Gore both mm-hmm. had some bad things happen to
them. Oh, I love Leslie Gore. She was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I interviewed one of the ex-drummers from Jethro Tull, and he brought up Eve Arden, and I started cracking up. I says, you and me are probably the only person that remember Eve Arden.
Oh, yes, I know. She was one of the great comic actors.
I know. But it's so funny that, you know, so many people, you know, they won't even know about Johnny Carson after a while, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can see somebody going, like you say, somebody like Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had Lucy Arnaz on the show. She's a hoot. She's a real hoot.
She was a beautiful girl at one time,
yep.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's really nice. Very nice person. All right, Janelle, here's a question I ask everybody. I get some interesting answers, okay? If you had a Fuel the Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
It would be... Otis Redding.
Otis Redding. Yep.
I almost said Lowell George, but I have to say it would have to be Otis.
Yeah, I heard you're a big Little Feat fan.
Yeah, Lowell especially. I mean, I know Billy Payne,
and I
did know Richie Hayworth before he passed.
Right.
I've met Paul, and I met Sam before he died. Wait a minute. No, is Sam still alive? Is Sam Clayton still alive?
That I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But and Paul Brewer has passed away now. And Richie went several years ago. But I got to be on stage with Richie Hayward. And I do love Billy Payne beyond words. You know who else I always wanted to collaborate with and never even have met yet is Stevie Wonder. I don't know if he ever would, but oh my God, I just idolize him. But yeah, past or present, anybody, if it was down to one, I'd have to say Otis.
Yeah, Jimmy Hall said Stevie Wonder as well.
Yeah.
Sam Clayton is alive. He's still around. Sam Clayton?
Oh, Sam Clayton, yay.
Yeah, he's
good.
Still around.
Hey, good,
yep.
No, good.
Yep. Oh, good answer there. Janelle, you have anything else you want to promote or chat about?
Well, just that I feel like I'm a better singer now than I ever was.
Oh, yeah. You're fantastic.
And I'm ready to sing until I'm done. I want to be like my friend David Olney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to distress anybody.
Right.
So I don't want to do it necessarily on stage, but I would like to finish a great performance, be in my 80s or 90s, finish a great performance, and step off the stage and go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Either that or... in a shootout in a bank, protecting little kids. I'd like to be that scary 80, 90 something little old lady that some asshole pulls a gun and I go, no, and I smack him with my purse. No.
That's funny.
I always wanted to do that when I got old enough.
That's funny. You know what? I think you will, too.
Yes. With age comes a certain amount of entitlement that I fully intend
That's right.
to take advantage of.
Well, I tell you, you deserve all the breaks in the world because you're a fantastic singer. You know, probably 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you probably would have been a superstar. But you know how the music business has changed.
I do. And I'll tell you, I have no regrets. My only regret is I didn't write more.
Right.
You know, my friend Harlan Howard wanted to write with me, but I really didn't feel, that I was gifted enough to write with him. And he kept saying, oh, come on, you know, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a dumbass. Why didn't I write with Harlan Howard?
Right.
Why didn't I push John Bryan, my friend,
mm-hmm.
because he said, we can try something, I'll try. Because he didn't write with a lot of people, but
right.
he did at the end. But then other people were in his life, and great people, Pat McLaughlin, you know.
Yep.
Folks like that, so.
Well, you're still young. You got a lot of time ahead of you to do anything you want to do.
I hope so, honey. I want to do every festival that will have me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Europe again. When I was in Italy, I got to sing jazz standards with a marvelous old man. And this is 10 years ago, so I'm sure, or 12 years ago now. So he may have passed away. He was well in his 80s.
Right, a lovely
little man named Renato Solani.
Hmm.
And he was one of the finest pianists I've ever gotten to sing with, and he liked me. I went over there to do the Umbria Jazz Festival with a rock band. I was just a background singer, but we went in the daytime to hear this guy sing, and I germed him until I got to sing with him, and he let me sing with him every time I came to the place. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. See, that's another genre. That's another genre you can do is jazz. You know, there's so many things you can do. It's like, wow. You know?
And I would love to do that. I do love to sing.
Yep.
I love all the intricacies of the jazz standard. I really, really do.
Well, you're an incredible voice. I wish you all the luck in the world because you deserve it. You got so much talent. And once you start touring again, please come to Florida.
I will. I would love to. I have friends from the top of the state to the bottom, so I do. I'll come see you, Ray.
Good, good. You got to meet my wife and, you know, fellow Kentuckian.
Yes, I do, and I hope it's going to be all okay to hug her neck, because that's what I plan on doing.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, thanks for a good interview.
Thank you, too. Thank you so much, and stay in touch, okay?
All right, babe.
Thanks. All right. Bye. Bye-bye now. Purchase Little Black Dress by Janelle Mosser and John Hall at Amazon.com. Gave it 5 stars. Excellent, excellent album. For more information about Janelle Mosser, visit www.janellemosser.com. She's also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/JanelleMosserOfficial. Very special thanks to Ann Layton Media Music Services Motivation for arranging this interview with Janelle Mosser and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com and please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It is real news, people. And please buy my new book. It is awesome. Great reviews, entitled The Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, Chronicles Truths, Confessions, and Wisdom from the Music Legends that Set Us All Free. Order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com or amazon.com, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Stay safe, keep healthy, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.